Chinyambuyu.
For instance, for me, as I was joining campus, I was so eager to get into a relationship.
Yeah. All of us.
Into a difference in experience.
It's really easy if you didn't have education about what really happens in campus.
In as much as we want to be quiet about this, this is something that should also be incorporated.
I invite you to be vulnerable. I invite you to be open. I invite you to share your insights and experiences.
Chinyambuyu.
Hello everyone, welcome to Chinyambuyu Podcast. This is the Campus Cafe series, and in this series I'm engaging young women in campus to share their experiences around sexual reproductive health and services, health and rights, sorry, and also feminist leadership and movement building. This is our first episode and I'm excited. I have two lovely babes who are joining me for this conversation. This session we're going to talk about the access to SRHR services in universities. So do join in the conversation and plug in. Say your name and tell us, before again we get into the heavy stuff, maybe share what's your hobby, what's that one thing you like to do away from school or work?
My name is Lavenda, but a lot of people call me Lave. My favorite thing to do to just chill or relax would probably be watching movies. Netflix and me is just me and B.
I'll watch on Netflix and chill.
Yeah. Recently, I've developed a love for Kenyan-made movies on Netflix. Yeah.
Hello, everyone. My name is Joanne, also Jojo. So what I like doing to relax or to chill, it's watching movies. Mm-hmm. I mean, who doesn't love being in another universe?
I know. I feel like that was also my favorite
thing to do.
Last time, when I'm done with class, I just come and watch movies. So let's get into the discussion. Given your context, whether in school or maybe in your home environment, what would you consider are some of the challenges that young women face when they want to access SRHR, given that maybe you're talking about contraception or maybe treatment or maybe even post-abortion care, if we could go there. But what are some of the challenges that you have in accessing SRHR?
The first challenge, of course, stigma. Because there's fear around, accessing contraceptive, for example, condoms. So, you fear that, if you go there to your nurse, school nurse or the university clinic, they'll be like, okay, you're having sex, right? Mm. You came here to, to do all those stuff or you
instead
just came
study.
To study. Mm. Yeah, also, I think also there's a lot of, there's not much education around the area. Mm-hmm. So, we don't know how P2 works. We don't know other forms of contraceptives. We only know, condoms only. And also, there need to be a conversation around safe days and how they work.
I agree with you. Apart from P2 and condoms, to be honest, I don't think in my school we ever taught about the 28-day pills or, I don't think we were ever taught that.
I'd also say one of the biggest challenges we have is lack of information on these things and people shying away from talking about it. So for instance, if I am a young lady and I want to be sexually active with my partner, I may not know what option is safe for me, what option should I abstain from, and also I may shy away from discussing this with my partner. So I think that's majorly the biggest problem, ignorance around the topic.
And also think, if I could share, there's also fear from our side as women. We are maybe afraid. I think what Joanne said, we don't have information on, especially contraception that has chemicals. You don't know. I think there's also that fear, which is also ignorance, I think, that you're not aware what will happen to your body or if you use this. Let me ask, in your context, is there, maybe during orientation or during class or in some of your courses that you're doing, is there any opportunities or times you guys have been taught about comprehensive sexuality education?
Yeah, so for us, we got a very comprehensive lesson. It was in physiology, actually, and it was sex ed 101. Mm-hmm. And we got to talk about the stages of pleasure as well. So it was a very...
Hey, that's very...
Yeah, cool. Wholesome, hey. Inclusive. Inclusive, wow. Sex education. And it was also very interesting and engaging with our lecturer. And also we got to discuss some of the contraceptives that are available and like some of the effects that they have on women, and why some women should not go for those options, and why some women should choose other safer options for them. And this is something that's not majorly discussed, but also there's male contraceptive options, like vasectomy, and a lot of people shy away from that, especially men.
They don't want to be the ones to
the Africanist.
I think the challenge with male contraception is that it has sort of this almost similar effects to female contraception, where you gain weight, maybe you have pimples, or you know those, or you're moody. And for them, the male contraception that is not the vasectomy, the pills for them, well, the ones that are in trials, they have the same effect. But they don't want to be the ones who are feeling moody, who are gaining weight.
Yeah.
So now they will leave it on the woman to be the one who takes the burden of contraception, which is very unfair, because I do think that you must have this conversation. I like to be in a relationship where it's the person who is taking the contraception, not me. Yeah.
So I think what Lave has said, especially about, you know, there are different types of contraceptive and it reacts different to all of us, right? So I think that it should not only be taught to medicine students.
You're a medical student, that's where you have that class where you learnt about. But you guys who are doing law, you've not been taught.
We know we've not been taught about that. But for us, we did a HIV and AIDS class, but it was mainly around, you know, HIV. Yes, we did a little bit of, you know, prevention, and you know, it comes with, you know, condoms. So other types of contraception, we weren't taught about, you know.
This HIV and AIDS class, if I can ask, it's one of the zile courses za kwanza. The zinachoje common units?
Yeah, common units.
We can move on to the next question. I'm asking you about what cultural or religious beliefs may have impacted you on how you view SRHR. Like, for example, there's the view that if you're on contraception, you'll lose. So in your cultures, or even in your context, in your religious or cultural context, what stigmas, or let me say judgment, do you guys face, or have you guys seen regarding access or people who take contraceptives or something like that?
Okay, so personally, I've had like exposure to like both sides of the coin. So I've had a very strict Christian upbringing and background as well. And I've also had a feministic exposure to it as well. So based on my Christian background, like what we are told is no sex before marriage. Mm. You have to wait for your wedding night. That's when you do it. And from the feministic view, which I'd say I've had the exposure like through movements by women, it's just very wholesome and inclusive, and I'd say more realistic for me as a woman. And it's centered on my needs and my wants as a woman as well. So I'd say the Christian background of it is very hush-hush on sex before marriage.
I think the Christian background ignores or assumes that you don't think about sex until you... It's even when you meet this person, you guys just have sex or think about having sex. That's marriage day, yeah. And it's very weird because during puberty is when these two feelings come, and that's when they deny you
the
education. I
think they should be told that we are not supernatural creatures, you know.
Yeah.
For me, the cultural part, we are Africans. Let's not forget that. So we are told we are preserving ourselves for our future husbands.
Yes.
You know, and also the religious part, it's also we are preserving ourselves for that Prince Charming who's coming. Mm. Yes. So I think that... Okay, for me, Akili Dada has really, really brought up the conversation to open our minds, and also, you know, to know that we are not bad people, you know, for thinking about it, or, you know, for maybe engaging in it, but...
You're just human.
Yes.
Just to chip in a little bit, I think on Christianity and their harsh view about sex before marriage, it really makes girls get married at a very young age.
Yeah.
Even before they achieve their dreams. So you find a girl is getting married at 21 just because, you know, there are these pressures from the church. And here I am, I have to follow the church. And at the same time, I want this thing, but I can't have it. So what happens? You get married at 21.
Just you because you want to experience it.
Exactly.
And the church has said that you only have to experience this in marriage.
Yeah, exactly. So I feel like, yeah, this should be told, as she has said, that we're not supernatural beings. Mm. Yeah.
And then also, there's another side to it. Even if you get married, the need for contraceptives might still be there because you're not ready to have kids.
Yeah.
And so if this is something that we don't talk about even before marriage...
You wouldn't know.
You wouldn't know. And you end up having kids just because you had sex and not because you actually are ready to have kids. So I think in as much as we want to be quiet about this, this is something that should also be incorporated. Like, for instance, maybe in premarital counseling in the church as well, so that we know even if I'm a woman and I want to continue working, I don't have to put my needs aside in order to have a child, that there's an option for me to have contraceptives and for me to take it up as well.
I think that there's some churches that even when you get married, they still don't allow contraception.
Yeah.
Let me go to the next question. In what ways are SRHR services accessible to you? Is it through a clinic? Is it through a chemist? In your context, in what ways can young women access SRHR services?
So I think that, yes, they are available in our university clinics, but then there's the stigma around it, you know. So you just find yourself going, you know, to your private chemist or clinic. You get, you know, those contraceptives. And also, we have condom dispensers in our...
Washrooms.
In our washrooms.
Are they always full?
No. Kwanza nowadays, they don't have anything, literally. At least tukiwa first year zilikuwa, but nowadays...
I told you, kuambia. Now, why I'm laughing? I told you guys earlier, we have different experiences. We also had condom dispensers everywhere. But now the difference is ours were always full. Because people would assume that because they are from the Ministry of Health, they're not high quality. Literally.
Yeah, there's the misconception about government things.
Yeah, because people think that because it's free, it's not good enough. So anyway, it's a difference in experience.
Okay, so for us in our uni, I'd say we are trying. Because in as much as we have free contraceptives, we also have a VCT center. So it provides free HIV testing and also counseling for those who are affected with HIV. And also it doesn't limit itself to HIV. There are also counselors there 24/7 who are very friendly. And you can make appointments with them. You can go visit them at their offices any time of the week. And you can talk to them about anything you're facing. For example, sexual abuse, HIV stigmatization, perhaps a problem at home that you're facing, first child marriage, and things like that. And I'd say we also do have the dispensers.
You guys have a contraceptive dispenser?
Yeah.
Able to describe what a contraceptive dispenser is?
It just has like condoms, but then it's like in the washrooms. It just has condoms. That's what we have.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
On that note, we are in the same school but different campuses, you know, and you know, they have VCT center. But I think for our campus, what they've done is there's outsourcing. There was a partnership with O3 Plus where they came to school. They had like HIV testing. They had psychological analysis or mental health, something about mental health. Yes. So I think that is what we have, but it's like once in maybe a year or what.
Wow. Yeah. What would you say is the impact of, you know, we've talked about the barriers towards accessing SRHR in your school. What would you say is the impact of having these barriers on young women when you don't access SRHR services? What do you think is the impact on girls and young women?
So the first one, of course, unwanted pregnancy or... You know, like, we should have this conversation because we are all humans, right? And we have needs, but it shouldn't tie us down for the rest of our lives. You get it? So the impact is that, you know, someone will end up dropping or, you know, their school performance is affected. Or, you know, these tough economic times, especially, you know, you find that there are a lot of, you know, mothers out there suffering with their kids. Yeah, so I think... it should be a really open conversation.
Okay, I think we also have, like Juju has said, it has an impact on your academic life because you can't continue with school if you get pregnant and like you can't fund for it. Also, I think the biggest barrier that's there is the sexual frustration that comes with it. Because probably you live in a lot of frustration and anguish, like knowing you got yourself pregnant, the guilt that comes with it. And I think that there's also a lot that needs to be done for girls who get pregnant earlier on, because it has an impact on their mental health, on their emotional health, and how they'll treat their kids. I also think the other impact that it has is probably the stigmatization that now comes with it.
If I can add to that, you know, we've talked about unwanted pregnancy. We also have to talk about the sexually transmitted infections. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's that. And it affects you even mentally, physically. Also, you're not able to concentrate in school. For example, if you have an STI, you are not comfortable at all.
I agree. As we finalize, how can we ensure that young women, you are able to access your SRHR services or education? How can we ensure in university, what can we do to ensure that, what can the government do, what can your school do, or what can us as young women do to ensure that we have access to SRHR?
So the first thing is, as much as we have clinics for like all those other you know, diseases and maybe mental health and stuff, but we need to have kind of like a separate department for, you know, sexual education. Yes, education, and also, you know, that just the sexual department, because you need to have someone to talk to. You need to have someone who's a professional to, you know, to ask those questions. And also, we can, you know, as much as we have like those HIV and AIDS classes, let it not be focused on HIV and AIDS. Let's have a sexual education comprehensive, you know. The last time I heard about SRHR, also in Akilidada, they were doing syllabus on SRHR. The government was coming up with
comprehensive sexuality education.
Yes,
but
yes.
They refused to take it up because they said that it was going to encourage immorality or something like that.
I think the conversation around that should also be, you know, revived. Let us decide, you know, as people who are in school. Yes.
Okay, so when I think about this, there's a particular story that comes to mind of a young girl who's actually like my sister's age. She's about turning 18 at the moment. And when she was in high school, she met this guy, got pregnant, had to drop out of school, had to get married. She now has kids and she's now juggling. You know, in as much as she's a child, she's juggling to take care of another child and her own family as well. And when I think of these instances, I just think, how can we as a nation, how can we as a society come in to prevent this? And in the event that it happens, how do we move on from there to ensure that this girl, first of all, doesn't feel like her life is ruined and like it's the very end? So first of all, I think the biggest thing we can do is preventive management on this. So in as much as it's a shy away topic to discuss this with school-going children, it's something we must see the reality of it at the moment, that it's actually becoming disastrous and hazardous to a lot of women, not just in Kenya, but also in Africa. So we need to introduce more talks on sexual health. We need to introduce more talks, even in the curriculum, earlier on in school, like in primary school, in high school. We need to have more talks on this. And in the event that it does happen, that you get pregnant, there's a lot of stigmatization that comes with it. There's a lot of, sometimes even you feel abandoned by your family and you're still a child. So we need to have government and non-governmental agencies stepping up and reaching out to these girls to be a source of hope to them, first of all, and to help them complete school, to help them build up skills that will enable them to be self-sufficient and independent so that they don't have to rely on this man who got her pregnant. We also need to have like more programs like in universities, in high schools, like an outreach program for girls who got pregnant before they were ready to have the kids. And we can also set up like daycare facilities in the unis. so that this girl doesn't have to feel, hey, I have a child, I can't leave my baby at home all by herself or himself. So what I can do is, because I have to go for my uni classes, I can just leave my child at the daycare that's in the uni. So this would help to bridge the gap between girls who feel they can't access education because they have kids. And also, finally, I'd say, because this girl, at the end of the day, she has someone else to take care of. And we don't want to have a situation where this girl leaves the child with her parents and has to move on, because we understand the emotional impact it has on this child. So we need to have opportunities for these women to become self-reliant. So like business opportunities, entrepreneurship, classes for them, coming up with jobs for them so that they can be able to be self-sufficient and self-reliant as well.
Once again, ladies, thank you for joining me for this podcast episode. Thank you for being open. Thank you for sharing your insights regarding the access to Sarhisha that you have in your school. And from the conversation that we've had, we can pick that being silent about access to SRHR or the stigma around access to SRHR is hurting girls and young women more than it is helping them. We need to be more open with these conversations. We need to provide accessible, affordable, and quality SRHR information and products to girls and young women. Thank you. The views that have been shared here are expressly our own views and they do not reflect the views of Akili Dada or any other affiliate organizations.